Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chulin is Lamed Hey. We are in Lamed Amud Beis. We are halfway down in the Amud. We're starting today with the words Amar Ula in the Gemara. Thank you very much for these last number of days. These last number of days were very difficult. Starting on Lamed Gimel and Lamed Al Lamed Hey, it ends today. The sugya ends today at the Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Probably today we'll get to the end of the sugya, and that'll be it. We'll start Rabbi Shimon tomorrow. But anyway, the point is as follows. It's a very difficult Gemara, as the Gemara here launched into discussion of Tumah Tahara and a number of moving parts of the Gemara. It's complicated. It's a complicated piece of Gemara. The starting point is easy. That's the easy part to explain. And then from that point going forward, it does get a little bit choppy. The Gemara started on back in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah told us that if you shecht an animal, there's no bleeding. No blood comes out of the animal after you shecht it, so the animal is kosher. And you're allowed to eat it, and then there's a benefit. Because there's no blood that comes out of the animal, so therefore the animal was not mukhshar lekabel tumah. It didn't receive the requisite hechsher in order for the food, meaning in this case the meat, to become tameh. And so as a result of that, consequently, so you can eat it b'yadai mesu'abos. Your hands can be dirty, not hygienically, but spiritually. And your daim are a shein l'tumah. And that's not a big deal. You go ahead and you eat the meat of the animal. And the reason why is because since the animal now does not receive hechsher, so therefore it becomes impervious to tumah, and so therefore your yadayim could be sheni, and it's not a big deal. And the Gemara asked a question, which is the question, which launched into a three-day discussion, going all the way back to Lamed Gimel, and that is, let's say there is blood, and let's say that the animal is mukhshar lekabel tumah. Your hands are a sheni l'tumah. And so that means to say the animal is chulin, there is no transmission of tumah from your hands to the animal, even if the animal is mukhshar lekabel tumah. So why is the Mishnah making such a big deal about, we're so happy there was no bleeding, so now that the animal does not have hechsher, so therefore the animal is impervious to tumah, even if it was susceptible to tumah, your hands are not going to affect it. And so that was the question. It's a really strong question. It's a powerful question. And the Gemara has numerous answers to that question. Lamed Gimel, that's 2 days ago now, the Gemara offered a number of suggestions. Maybe it's animal that you bought with Maestro Sheni money. Maybe we're talking about a case where your hands are not a Sheni, but your hands are a Rishon. Does that circumstance happen? Generally, no. Under very limited circumstances, yes. So we gave an assortment of suggestions in terms of how to explain the Mishnah. However, in the beginning of yesterday's daf, really, this started already on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara went down another avenue, and that is that it is chulin, as we indicated. And oh, by the way, there are four different There are four strong indicators that the Mishnah is talking about chulin. The Mishnah is not talking about carbon. If the Mishnah were talking about carbon, then it'd be much easier to explain, because carbon has more kedusha and more sensitivity to. To tumah. So good. But it's not talking about kachim. It's talking about chulin. The last approach, which we are now immersed in this last approach, is as follows. The Mishnah is talking about chulin b'chulin shenasa al tarsa kodesh, chulin that is treated like kodesh. And so the term I'm going to be using over the course of this morning, as I used yesterday, is basically simulated kodesh and simulated truma. Meaning, like I explained yesterday, but again, let's just restart again this morning with the same basic idea. What does that mean, simulated kodesh and simulated truma? So whenever you have your simulation, what you're doing is basically you're training. Meaning you're not actually in combat, but when you're doing simulated combat, you're training because you want to know basically how it's going to feel like. So over here, I know that I'm going to be going to the base of Mikdash. I know I'm going to be eating carbon. I want to get into the habit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to declare that the chulin I'm going to be eating is nasa al taros hakodesh, which means that I'm going to simulate it so that the chulin that I eat is going to be treated like kodesh. Good. So at this point going forward now, I'm going to try to the best of my ability, work within the rules and regulations of karban, even though what I'm eating is just simply chulin in my house. Also, that's simulated kodesh. There's also simulated truma, where let's say the kohen just wants to get into the habit of always eating truma. So therefore, the chulin that he eats is going to declare is going to be chulin shenasa al tarsa truma. And it's going to be simulated truma. Good. And so we have now these ideas, these concepts of where a person can make his chulin either kodesh or truma and give it that kind of status, that kind of quality to it. There's a major discussion, a major debate that takes place over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf in terms of to what degree is it going to be like Kodesh, and to what degree is it going to be like Chulin? And the truth of the matter is, this is a Masechta dedicated to this topic, not in its entirety, but a big part of Masechta, and that's Masechta Taharos. And yesterday, what we learned together is a Mishnah Taharos that touches on this very issue and touches on this question. The Mishnah Taharos, which we learned yesterday, takes us all the way back to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. If you could turn back all the way to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, so we have a Mishnah Taharos that raises this issue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer HaOchel Ochel Rishon Rishon Sheni Sheni Shlishi Shlishi. And the Mishnah over here in Taharos is describing simulated what? Presumably it's talking about simulated Kodesh and simulated Truma, presumably. And basically what the Mishnah over here is treating us to is the following. Not only is there a Gzera Derabanan in which if you treat Truma or if you treat your chulin like Truma or like Kodesh, it's going to behave like Truma and Kodesh. But on top of that, the following. If you were to eat any food which is Tameh, you yourself become Tameh. Now, on a Daraisa level, it's not the case. Meaning, Minat Torah, you don't eat a food and become Tameh. There is one area in the Torah where if you eat a food, you can become Tameh, and that's Nivlasov Tahor, which we actually touched on yesterday. In yesterday's daf, we touched on the idea of Nivlasov Tahor. But outside of that, though, there is no other circumstance in the Torah where if you eat something, you become Tameh. How is Tumah transmitted? Maga, contact, masa, carrying, ohel, being under the same roof. And again, that applies to different sources of Tumah. But there is no minatora transmission of Tumah because you ate something. However, the Chachamim wanted people to refrain from being involved in Tumah. So therefore, if you eat food which is Tameh, you yourself are going to be Tameh. This is a rabbinic regulation as it relates to Tumah. What degree of Tumah are you going to be? So that's a machlokus in the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah back on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer HaOchel Ochel Rishon Rishon Sheni Sheni Shlishi Shlishi. And Rabbi Eliezer says, look, it's very simple. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. So if you ate something which is a Rishon Latuma, you are a Rishon Latuma. If you ate a Sheni Latuma, you're a Sheni Latuma. And if you ate a Shlishi, you are a Shlishi Latuma. Now, most presumably, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this would be true not only by Truma and by Kodesh actual, but even by simulated Truma and by simulated Kodesh. Meaning if it's Chulin Shedasa, Taras Truma, and Chulin Shedasa, Taras Kodesh, the same strictures would be true. The same regulations would be true. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, he disagrees. Ha'ochel ochel rishon visheni, sheni. According to Rabbi Yoshua, if you ate either a Rishon or a Sheni, you become a Sheni. So in other words, he agrees on principle that you become Tameh when you eat Tameh food, but the degree and level of Tumah is different according to Rabbi Yoshua. If you ate either a first degree or second degree Tumah, you immediately go to a second degree Tumah. If you eat Shlishi, if you eat a third degree Tumah, third level Tumah, Sheni Lekodesh, V'ein Sheni Letumah. So you're going to be Tameh on the level of a Sheni, but only as it relates to Kodesh, not as it relates to Truma. And all this is talking about what? Chul Shenasa Ataras Truma. So it's only talking about Chul Shenasa Ataras Truma, meaning we're only talking about simulated Truma over here, meaning that according to Rabbi Yoshua, none of these rabbinic enactments were made for simulated Kodesh, only for simulated Truma. Now we already noted it's a little bit strange, according to Rabbi Yoshua. Why wouldn't the Chachamim make a Gzera by simulated Kodesh? Why would they only make it by simulated Truma? If you go back to yesterday's daf, so I offered a suggestion that it's said over by some Rishonim in terms of why there's such a distinction. Good. That's the Mishnah in Taharos. We spent a lot of time yesterday going over the Mishnah in Taharos. Yesterday, most of our day yesterday was spent on addressing the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua at the very end says this is only talking about simulated Truma. Did he mean to the exclusion of simulated Kodesh? That's the easiest way to read Rabbi Yoshua. And yesterday, we noted Amoraim themselves suggest that this is, in fact, the right shot. There are some Amoraim, we did this in yesterday's daf, who said that Rabbi Yoshua meant it both by Kodesh and by Truma. And the style in which he made his statement was Lomi Bai Kamar. Meaning, even though he made a statement regarding Truma, it goes without saying that the same thing would be true by Kodesh as well. Again, this last point is a machlokus amongst the Amoraim already. Okay, we're going to turn now to Lamed Dalamed Beis, where we left off yesterday. I'm actually going to take one step backwards, just so that we get the full sugya in question. And over the course of this morning now, for the remainder of today's daf, what we're going to be doing is going over the Amoraim, who are going to come up with piske halachos regarding this matter. As a general point I can make, as we're about to, you know, start and finish the sugya of Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKadosh, and Truma, it's really interesting that the Amoraim are taking halachic stands on these issues. The Amoraim are living well after Churban Bayis Sheni, and so there is no Kodesh anymore, meaning there's no Karbanos anymore, there's no Kodesh anymore. So for them to take a stand on Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKadosh in of itself is interesting, right? Why are they ruling on such matters? And then Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaTruma, that's a little bit easier to hear, because even after Churban Bayis Sheni, still Truma was eaten. Truma was eaten by the Kohanim and some level of Tahara. So that part's easier to hear. But the Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh, stimulated Kodesh, it's challenging. It's simply challenging to understand why it is that the Amoraim are offering Piskei Halacha. Meaning, learning the Mishnayos, understanding the opinion of the Tanayim, this is all part and parcel of Chefsa Shel Torah. It's Limud HaTorah, right? Everything we're doing this morning is Limud HaTorah, but in terms of why they're giving Psakim, that part's a curiosity. I don't have a good approach to the general. Yeah. Okay, fine. The Gemara elsewhere describes it as Hilchasa de Mashiach, meaning, you know, when the Mashiach comes, like, we'll know the halacha then. We don't have to paskin for when the Mashiach comes. But okay. Anyway, I'm going to start today on the very top of the Amud, Lamed Dalamed Beis. Okay, I know we did this already yesterday, but it's all going to be part of the Amoraim. So we start with Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai. So the Gemara quotes now in the name of numerous Amoraim, Ha'ochel Shlishi Shachul and Shanasa Ataros HaKodesh. So we're talking now about a person who ate a shlishi of simulated Kodesh. And I know, by the way, just every line has so many moving parts to it. Because are we talking about Kodesh? Are we talking about simulated Kodesh? What level is he eating? So I understand there are a lot of variables over here, which quite frankly makes the Gemara complicated. Okay, so a person who eats shlishi of Chulin Shanasa Ataros HaKodesh, Nasa Gufo Sheni LaKodesh. So what happens now is that his guf now, in other words, again, we're talking about the Tuma de Rabbanan of somebody eating Tamei food now becoming Tamei. And according to this memra of Rav Yochanan, you are going to become now a Sheni LaKodesh, an actual upgrade, where you are now going to be not just what you ate, but you're going to be above what you ate. You ate a Shlishi, you're going to be a Sheni. So Eitzve Rav Zera LaRav Asi. So the Gemara challenges Shlishi Sheni LaKodesh and Sheni LaTruma B'Chulin Shanasa Taras HaTruma. And the question over here is very simple. I mean, when I say very simple, meaning after having gone over everything we just went over. But the question is very simple. Let's go back to the Mishnah of Taharos that we started off our morning reviewing. And the Mishnah over there says that when you eat Shlishi, you're Sheni, but that's by simulated Truma, not by simulated Kodesh. And the Gemara makes a diuk. Altaris Truma and Altaris Kodesh Lo. You only get upgraded when you eat Shlishi, you become a Sheni, but that's only by Truma, not by Kodesh. So Amar Leilo Mibai Kamar. So the response is, yeah, but you didn't understand Rav Yeshua correctly. What he meant was not only simulated Truma, even simulated Truma. Meaning the halach is the same for both Chulin Shanasa Ataros HaTruma and Chulin Shanasa Ataros HaKodesh. V'ha'af ani lo amarti ela b'truma kamar. Now the Gemara points out that Rav Yochanan on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf was quoted as saying that's not the right way to understand Rav Yehoshua. Rav Yehoshua did not mean even, he meant only. He said that the Gzeira de Rabbanan is only if you eat Chulin Shanasa Ataros HaTruma, not Chulin Shanasa Ataros HaKodesh. Amarayinu v'aliba de Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara points out that even within the Shita of Rav Yochanan, in terms of how he understood Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah, so the later Amoraim debate exactly how Rav Yochanan learned Rav Yehoshua's position. And in terms of just a simple way of understanding, how could there be multiple positions within Rav Yochanan, you could say very simply, meaning that Rav Yochanan, over the course of his life, you know, at one point he learned Rav Yeshua one way, and at a later point he learned Rav Yeshua another way. That's not out of this world to suggest. Just the other day, we learned together that Rabbi Akiva himself changed his mind on issues. So for a Tana to change his mind on issues, certainly it's entertainable to say that an Amora changed his mind on an issue, and then what the Amoraim are just simply reporting is when they were learning by Rav Yochanan, this is what he said. Okay. Amar Ula. Continuing now, so that was our first memra we had amongst the Amoraim in terms of ruling. The Gemara brings another one. If a person were to eat shlishi of simulated truma, okay, so the person now, it has not truma, actual simulated truma, and it becomes tame. It was on the level of a shlishi, and now the person ate it. He now becomes nifsal gufo. Again, a din de rabbanan. And by the way, just think about the layers of the Rabbanan. Meaning we're not talking about truma actual, we're talking about simulated truma. And then he eats it, which he shouldn't have done, obviously. And now his guf is going to become tummy because he ate it. Another Rabbanan, meaning there are a number of layers of Rabbanan over here. So nifsa gufo me'elcha b'truma, and at this point going forward now he's tummy. To what degree is he tummy? To the degree in which he can't eat truma. Now, my kamash malantanina. Now, the Gemara says, okay, thank you very much for offering me this, but we knew this already. How do we know this already? Again, we go back to the same Mishnah. Shlishi, sheni lekodesh, ve'in sheni l'truma, b'chun shenasa ataras truma. So, if he's eating shlishi, he is a sheni lekodesh, but he's not a sheni vis-a-vis truma, and that's speaking specifically about simulated truma. Now, if you think about what the statement of the Mishnah is saying, he's saying that if I eat shlishi of simulated truma, sorry. Let me say it again. Let me just make sure I say it correctly. If he ate shlishi, I think it's what I said. If he ate shlishi of simulated truma, he is going to be a sheni vis-a-vis kodesh, but not a sheni vis-a-vis truma. Now, if you think about that statement, what it sounds like is, and the Gemara is about to make this diuk, He is not going to be a sheni vis-a-vis truma, but he'll be a shlishi vis-a-vis truma. So it's a reasonable diuk. And if we're making such a diuk, so then that is exactly Ula's statement. But Ula, what did you provide for us? What you're saying is really what we learned back in the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah didn't say it outright, but the diuk is pretty strong. So sheni hu delo have shlishi have. The Gemara says it's a good diuk. It's not a great diuk. What I could have made the argument is as follows: if a person eats shlishi of simulated truma, what is he vis-a-vis kodesh? A sheni. That we know for sure. That the Mishnah says. What is he vis-a-vis truma? Here's what we could argue: nothing. He's nothing vis-a-vis truma. Meaning there's no gzera derabanan whatsoever regarding truma. And what about the fact that it says it's not a sheni by truma? Just as a contrast, since it says that he's a sheni by kodesh, so the contrasting statement is then he's not a sheni by truma, but truth be told, he's not anything vis-a-vis truma. That's how I could have read the Mishnah, kamash malan. The chiddush is that that's why I need ula. Eisvei Rav Amnuna l'ula, arishon shebechulin, tamei. Umetame. Here we now quote another Mishnah from Taharos. More on the discussion. Harishon shebechulin tame umetame. So when it comes to Rishon anchulin, so not only does it become tame, but it has the ability to be metame others. Remember, by chulin can go up to a sheni. V'hasheni posel ve'ein umetame. Now when sheni goes ahead and touches truma, it will disqualify truma. Remember the word posel? Posel means end of the road, meaning that when the sheni touches truma, the truma now is posel. It becomes a shlishi, but that's it. It doesn't go beyond that point in time. Ve'ena matame. Ve'hashlishi, now when it comes to shlishi, necha b'nizira dema. So here's what you could do now with your shlishi truma. you can mix it together with a little bit of nizid hadama. Nizid, you're familiar with that word. Esav in his bowl of soup. So what you could do is you can mix this truma together with nizid hadama. Now the iamar nifsal gufa melecha b'truma. So the Gemara says, so let's think this through. If Ula, you're right, that if I have something on a shlishi level of simulated truma, now what you're telling me is, according to Ula, is that he is a shlishi, meaning we know he's not a sheni. That clears from the Mishnah and Taharos, but he is in fact a shlishi. So basically, now what you're doing is that you're taking something which is tamei on a shlishi level, you're feeding it to somebody who then in turn is going to become tamei. So that means that he shouldn't be eating it.
Wait, is there a but if it's so, by that truma that you made shlishi, right? Would it make other non-tamed truma tamed?
No. In other words, as a gzera de rabbanon, the person who eats it is going to become a shlishi. It's a gzera de rabbanon.
Fine, but I think that so that person cannot eat truma because they're shlishi.
Yes.
But the thing is that they cannot transmit it anymore because
they're shlishi. Right. That's correct. But in other words, they're going to be now restricted from eating truma because they ate it.
Touching
it would be fine. So nifsa gufa melecha b'truma. So safina le'mida depasa le'lugufa. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So you're telling me now, the end of this mission in Taharos is telling me that I'm going to take my shlishi, mix it together with a little bit of soup, and I'm going to be able to feed it to somebody who then, let's say it's a kohen, obviously, because somebody who has the ability to eat truma. And that's going to disqualify you from eating truma. If you eat something that's going to disqualify you from eating truma, you shouldn't be eating it. So we're going to call it, the Gemara does. So we're going to call it now Isser. So finally, mita de pasole legufe. So really the Mishnah is recommending that we feed it to a Kohen, which is going to disqualify him from eating truma. So the Gemara says, once I mix it into a soup, there's no problem whatsoever. Why? Because remember, a person becoming tamei from eating tamei foods, that's a din de rabbanan. It's a gzera de rabbanan, tuma de rabbanan. That only comes about when he eats a certain amount within a certain time. Right? A kezayis bechtei achilas pras. You have to eat a quantity of a kezayis of that tummy food within the time frame of the amount it takes to eat a pras, a half a loaf of bread. Okay? In halachic terminology, so the post can talk about 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 9 minutes. Okay? We're not exactly sure. There's a range. For our purposes over here learning the daf, we don't have to know the number. We just have to know that there's an amount eaten within a certain amount of time. When this tamei food gets mixed into a soup, it's going to be so diluted in the soup that there's no way you're going to be eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras. Now keep in mind, under normal circumstances, if there is iser in a food and it's so diluted that I know I'm not going to be eating a kezayis bechtei achilas pras, you still can't eat it. Meaning, right? In other words, if we're talking about Isser Gamor, of course you can't eat it, right? Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah. It's a machlokas in Yuma, in the 8th Perek, but in other words, Chatzi Shir is Aser. That we could say unequivocally. You can't eat a whole Isser, you can't eat half of an Isser, you can't eat any amount of Isser. So if we were talking about an Isser Daraisa, there's no discussion to be had. Keep in mind that the whole context of the Gemara is that you're eating something which is going to make you tamei on a rabbinic level, meaning the food itself isn't even truma; it's simulated truma, and it's a tamei on a shlishi level, and you're eating it, so it's going to make your guf tamei so that you can't eat truma. But that's only when you eat a kezayis bechtei achilas pras.
Isn't that considered gizra on top of
gizra? Yeah, sure.
So I thought we don't hold that.
Generally, no. By tuma and by harchakas for truma and kodesh, so there are multiple preventatives. I'm Rav Yonasan, I'm a Rabbi. We are now on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara now is going to be quoting more Amoraim who are ruling more on this issue. I'm Rav Yonasan, I'm a Rabbi. Ochel shlishi shel truma atzma. If you eat truma itself, in other words, keep in mind the transition we just made in the Gemara right now. Up until this point in time, we were talking about simulated truma, right? Chulin shenasa otaros or truma. Now we're talking about truma itself. The same gzera de rabbanan applies to truma itself. Meaning, if the truma is tamei and you ate it, now what? So here we have Rav Yonasan saying in the name of Rabbi that if I shlishi shel truma atzma asa lechol umut aliga. So I am now forbidden from eating truma. When I say I, it has obviously has to be talking about a kohen. A kohen cannot be eating truma from this point going forward, meaning because he ate tamei truma, or I should say more accurately, pasul truma, because it's shlishi. So now from this point going forward, he is he can't eat truma until obviously he tovels in the mikvah. He is allowed to, however, touch truma. Now, so in other words, it's a gzerah derabbanan, a limited gzerah derabbanan. It's only going to ban him from eating the truma, not from touching truma. The itzrich lula, the itzrich the Rabbi Yonasan. Now, you'll notice that Ula and Rabbi Yonasan effectively said the same thing. However, with one very basic distinction. Rabbi Ula on the previous Amud was talking about simulated truma. Rabbi Yonasan was talking about actual truma. Now, the Gemara points out, I need both statements. If I only had one, I wouldn't have known the other. So it's the Rabbi Yonasan. Because consider, if all I had was Ula and his statement regarding simulated truma, here's what I would have thought. Okay, simulated truma, so the Chachamim were a little bit more relaxed because it's not real truma, it's not actual truma, it's simulated truma. However, if we're talking about truma itself, and a person ate shlishi, so how he's going to be more tamei? Admittedly on a rabbinic level, but he's going to be more tamei. So therefore, not only would he be not allowed to eat truma, he wouldn't be allowed to touch truma as well. And if all I had was the statement of Rav Yonasan by the actual truma, so I would have said, okay, a person eating shlishi, so fine. So the Chachamim banned him and barred him from eating truma. But if it's only simulated truma, the rules are more relaxed. So I need Rav Yonasan, I also need Ula. Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Kameh Rav Nachman V'Yosef V'Kamar. The Gemara quotes another psak of the Amoraim. Ha'ochel shlishi shulchun shenasa ataras hakodesh. If a person eats a shlishi of simulated kodesh, not actual kodesh, simulated kodesh. So tar lechol b'kodesh. So at this point in time, he can go ahead and eat kodesh. Because a revi b'kodesh, what is a revi b'kodesh? Now, I know that's a funny question, but look, on our depth chart of transitioning of tumah from one end into another, a rishon makes a sheni tameh on a daraisa level. A sheni can make shlishi tameh only by truma and by kodesh. What about by kodesh? So as we've said time and again, kodesh can make another kodesh tamei even from 3 to 4. In other words, if you have kodesh which is a shlishi, on a shlishi level, so if it touches another karbon, so then it's going to make it pasul. Okay? Tamei, pasul. Right? The correct way to describe it would be pasul. It's the end of the road. Now, is that min haTorah or is that just min derabbanan? So Rashi over here writes, and I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, so Rashi writes that this is on a derabbanan level. Min haTorah, there is no revi b'kodesh, but the Chachamim said, look, kodesh obviously has more kedusha, more sensitivity, so therefore they ratcheted up the level of tuma so that by kodesh you can have a revi b'kodesh. Fine. But that's a din d'rabbanan. What the Gemara now is saying is that because the din of transferring tuma from kodesh to make it from a shlishi to revi, since to begin with, that is only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'araisa, so therefore, the rules get more relaxed. Meaning, if you eat now a shlishi of simulated kodesh, so you didn't even eat actual kodesh shlishi. You only ate simulated kodesh shlishi. So therefore, the chachamim are not going to now say that you're going to be able to make a revi by kodesh. The only thing that can make a revi by kodesh is actual kodesh itself.
So it's not like ula.
But keep in mind, and this is why the Gemara gets so complicated, Ula was describing simulated truma. We are now talking about simulated kodesh. So the rules may be different between the two.
It's even worse.
Okay. Worse, better. In other words, they're different. It's different. Mezav Rami Bar Chamashlishi Shein LeKodesh Vein Shein LeTruma B'chun Shein Asa Taras Truma. And now, I've lost track in terms of the number of times, but we quote our Mishnah Taras again. The Mishnah Torah says that if you ate shlishi of simulated truma, you're a sheni l'kodesh and you're not a sheni l'truma, b'chun shenasa ataras truma. So, and that is talking about stimulated truma. Now, keep in mind, so stimulated truma, and you are now going to eating a shlishi of stimulated truma, and now you're going to be able to make a sheni. I'm sorry, you are the status of a sheni legabe kodesh. Amai halav kodesh mikodeshu. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. In other words, why is it, how could it be that you're going to be able to transmit that tuma over to karbanos? Meaning by karbanos, the idea of jumping from 3 to 4, that's only by actual kodesh. Simulated kodesh, no. And what the Gemara is now arguing is, if by simulated kodesh you cannot make the jump from 3 to 4, you certainly cannot make the jump from simulated truma to go from 3 to 4. So Amalei Hanuch Truma Shetarasu Tuma Hi Eitzel Kodesh. So the Gemara says, well, actually, the argument is not correct. When I'm making the jump from Truma to Kodesh, believe it or not, it's worse. Why? Because, as we discussed yesterday, and we're going to repeat the same discussion today, when you are going into the mikvah and being metai yourself, if, let's say, you say to yourself while going to the mikvah, this is for the purpose of eating Truma, so that's your cap. You're only tahor vis-a-vis truma. What about kodesh? You're not tahor at all. It's really interesting. Obviously these are harchaka, these are safeguards, safe measures that were instituted by the chachamim in order to ensure even more kedusha and tahara as it relates to the consumption of truma and karbanos. However, the rule is very simple. Whatever you toveled in the mikvah for, that's your cap level. If you toveled in the mikvah for Maaser Sheni, you can only eat Maaser Sheni. If you toveled in the mikvah for Truma, it's only up to Truma. If you toveled in the mikvah for Kodesh, then it goes up to Kodesh. But that's it. So in other words, if now what you did was eat Truma that was Tameh, so how is it possible that you can now touch Kodesh and make the Kodesh go from 3 to 4? Didn't we say that the only way to make the jump from 3 to 4 by Kodesh is only by actual Kodesh? And meanwhile, we're talking about Truma over here, and we're not even talking about Truma. We're talking about simulated Truma. But the Gemara's answer is, that's right. The Gemara says, and I'm going to read the line of the Gemara again. Hanach l'truma, shetaharasa, tuma hi eitz l'kodesh. Leave Truma out of the discussion. Truma vis-a-vis Kodesh is Tameh. Meaning it simply does not have any, even though you were a metar yourself for Truma, it's nothing vis-a-vis Kodesh. It's even worse. It's Tameh vis-a-vis Kodesh. Umanat Tamar did not. And the Gemara says, and now we go back to our Mishnayos in Chagiga. We quoted some of these Mishnayos yesterday in Chagiga. We're quoting from the same area in Chagiga. Big Day Amaharitz, Midras L'Prushim, Big Day Prushim, Midras L'Ochli Truma, Big Day Ochli Truma, Midras L'Kodesh. If I have a garment of one person, and I told them the mikvah, but I told them the mikvah for an Amaharitz, a chaver cannot use it. If I tovel in the mikvah for a chaver, so somebody who eats truma cannot use it. If I tovel in the mikvah for somebody who's about to eat truma, somebody who's about to eat kodesh cannot use it. You see very clearly over here that whatever you tovel an item for is capped for that item, and it cannot be used for anything above that. So Ama Rava Midrasos Kamar Chani Midrasos Shema Teishev Alem Ishtonida Ava Bepeire Lo Amrinan. Rava says, look, I'm with you in the Mishnah Chagiga. I agree. The Mishnah Chagiga is telling us that there are cap levels for Tahara. But that's specific to clothing. Why is that specific to clothing? Because what is the concern over there? The concern over there is that a man is now about to eat Truma, and so therefore he's going to be toveling his kalim so that he would be able to wear them while eating the Truma. Problem being is that not a problem, but a concern would be is that members of his household, notably his wife, who is a Nida, will be sitting on the item, right? A Nida who sits on an item creates Medrash. Medrash not only transmits Tumah, but, right, it's a rule breaker. In other words, the item that they sit on, if the purpose of it was for sitting, is going to be Metameh it on the same level. Anyway, the point being is that when we're talking about clothing, so there we're talking about real concerns of Isuri D'Araisa. And that's why the Chachamim put in these harchakas, these barriers, of if you tovel for Truma, that's it. You can only use it for Truma, nothing more than that. Over here, we're talking about pears, we're talking about fruit. And keep in mind, the We're talking about fruit, and in a lot of these cases, we're not even talking about the kodesh itself. We're talking about simulated kodesh and simulated truma. So over here, we don't have these kinds of extra regulations where if I tovel it for one, it necessarily caps it for the next. So the Gemara says, so at least Rava says, I see a very clear distinction between the two. So Masiv, I'm sorry, V'Rav Yitzchak Beperinami Amar. And Rav Yitzchak simply disagrees. He says, no, that these rules of Chagiga, that if you're capped for one, you cannot go above that. Not only is that true for Medrash, it's also true for Protus as well. The Gemara says, why don't we consider now another Mishnah in Chagiga? Now, this Mishnah over here, just a quick recap for this Mishnah. Wine being a truma wine from an Amaretz, we can't purchase because we are generally speaking not confident that the Amaretz is going to keep the truma in a state of tahara. And so, therefore, a Kohen cannot buy wine from an Amaretz if it's for truma. Oddly enough, the Mishnah Chagiga tells us that if the Am Haaretz has wine for Kodesh, for Nesachim, then he is believed. And we can buy the wine from him for the Beis HaMikdash. Now you're wondering, if we're not trusting his ability to keep Tahara for Truma, why then do we believe him as it relates to Kodesh? So Rashi over here addresses that, and Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, and the Gemara in Chagiga says, look, if we take the Amei Haaretz and we reject them from the Beis HaMikdash, what are they going to do? They're going to build a new Beis HaMikdash. Breakaway Beis HaMikdash. It's unfortunately not a foreign. It's been done before by Beis HaMikdash, and it's been done before by Shuls. Okay, so the Chachamim understood that for the Beis HaMikdash, we simply are not in a position to reject them, and so therefore, we're going to assume that if they say that it is in the state of Tahara for Kodesh, so for that, they're going to be trusted. However, for Truma, no. The Mishnah over here deals with the following scenario. Now that you know the basic information, so you're going to really enjoy the Mishnah. Im Amar. Let's say the Amar says to you as follows. Hifrash l'soch reviz Kodesh. So let's say he has a barrel of wine. And then he says to you, you know, a little bit of this wine in this barrel, I set aside for the Beis HaMikdash. Nesachim for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, checkmate. Meaning he got you. Because now he's saying, you see this barrel of wine? It's truma wine for the most part, but some of it actually is for Nesachim. Oh, okay. So now, what are we going to do for one barrel of wine? Trust him on that little bit that's for the Nesachim, and the rest of it say, we can't trust you? It's one barrel of wine. So, okay, checkmate. So he got you. So, Naaman, he's believed. V'lo kamatam alei truma l'kodesh. Now, over here, the truma is not going to be Matami the Kodesh. So over here, we're talking about wine, that's Pere. We're talking about wine, and it's clear over here that there is no Tuma that's going from the Truma over to the Kodesh. Remember, previously we said that if something is only Nishmar for Truma vis-a-vis Kodesh, it's Tame. And meanwhile, over here, that's not the case. V'i Amar Taharasa Tuma Hiyetzal Kodesh Tame Truma the Kodesh. So shouldn't the shouldn't the truma in the barrel be metame the kodesh of the barrel? Amrei tuma bechiburim kamar tuma bechiburim shani demigu demehemen hakodesh mehemen ami truma. And the Gemara's answer is very simple: it's one barrel of wine, and we are believing him regarding that revius of kodesh that he says is in that barrel. Since we're believing him on that part of the barrel of the wine, we have to therefore believe him on the rest of it as well. It's one unified wine in one barrel. So the Gemara employs over here the concept of migu. Migu over here, not in the classic sense, but just in the sense of, look, it's one item. Once we believe him on one part, we have to believe him on the rest as well. Okay. I'm a mace of Rav Huna Barnasan. Hashem Shebechulam Matame Mashke. Chulin Uposol Ochle Truma. Sheni in Chulin is going to be Mitame the Mashke of Chulin, and posel the foods of truma. Ve'ashlishi mitame mashke kodesh uposel ochle kodesh b'chul shenasa ataras kodesh. So over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about simulated kodesh. And what did we just learn together in this brisa regarding simulated kodesh? That shlishi is going to be, that if a person is eating shlishi, which is tamei, so he's going to be posel ochle kodesh. He's actually going to disqualify Kodesh food. Now, if you remember in the Amud Aleph of today, what do we say? We said that if a person is eating shlishi of simulated kodesh, he is not going to be making a revi. He's not. Because the only thing that goes from 3 to 4 in kodesh is only actual kodesh, but not simulated kodesh. And by the way, this is not even simulated kodesh. This is a person who ate simulated kodesh. He ate a shlishi. So he's not going to be a matami revi, and this brisa says he will. The Gemara simply acknowledges tonight he eats a machlokas. Tanaim detanya chul shenasa taras kodesh harein with kechulin. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzedek Omer harein kitruma letamishnayim velifsol echad. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. In this brisa, we see clearly that somebody who eats a shlishi, so he is going to be that will in turn have the ability of being metamishnayim and being posol echad, meaning going two more jumps in. So in other words, so you are able to make a shlishi and a revi. So the author of this brisa, in fact, does espouse the viewpoint that a shlishi can, in fact, make a revi when it comes to Kodesh. Obviously, the previous brisa and the previous Amora disagrees. Okay. And Atan, meaning that takes us to the end of the sugya. As I mentioned in the beginning of today, we'll stop by Rabbi Shimon. And tomorrow we pick it up with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon regarding Shkita being a Machshir. Okay. Thank you so much. The last 3 days have been, for sure, trying. It's one of the more difficult sections of, the first of all, the Masechta in general, but also whenever we deal with Tumah Tahara. They're more difficult in nature, a lot of moving parts.
How is tomorrow?
Okay.